The India team knows why. Okay, so you can ask the India team. Maybe they can upload the full video. Now everyone's going to wonder, what is that about? So I want to just thank all the video makers, Nyasha, Danae, and Michelle. Well done with that. That was really inspiring stuff. Anyone agrees? Wasn't that video cool? Thanks, guys. Put our hands together for them. Right, so obviously we know God is a God of the mission, right? He sends Jesus into this world on a mission to show us the love of God, the love of the Father. Really amazing to see what God does when we are commissioned, when we are sent. And there's always a blessing that follows. Those that have been on missions, you'll know there's a blessing. But God calls us to a mission every day. And so you've received your invitation for the Let's Go Local. And so we're gonna make another team, and we're going to do a mission right here in Cape Town. We're going to go to campus. We're going to go to different places in Cape Town. So join the team. We're going to approach it like we did these teams. We're going to have team meetings, and we're going to pray and fast and do everything like we would a international or other mission, but we're going to do it here because Jesus calls us to Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth, right? And so we want to participate in that. So I want to encourage you, join Matthew after the service and join the team. It's going to be really awesome. I'm going to extend another invitation. I'll tell you a bit more about that. But tonight I want to just talk about something that I believe is really crucial to us as a group, as a church, and also to us as individuals. In fact, if you look at the book of the scriptures, the whole of the Bible from the beginning to the end, I'm talking about breaking intimidation by faith. The slide will go up there. No. Yes, that's also important, but yes, there we go. Breaking intimidation. But if you look at scripture from the beginning to the end, every guy that was successful in scripture got it right to overcome intimidation. And every person that didn't make it great failed to overcome this, right? And so God is faithful. God helps us in this afternoon. We want to look at God coming to help us. And we're going to get very practical on two levels. We're going to allow God to come and give us his authority. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit, the helper that will come, he will give unto you that which is mine. And what belongs to Jesus? The scripture in Ephesians says that Jesus has been raised up above all powers and principalities, right? So Jesus, all authority is his. We see it in Matthew 28 as well. The scripture says, all authority has been given unto Jesus, but that then he gives to us. And he gives it through the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to just come and we're going to yield to the Holy Spirit. We're going to say, God, give us revelation. Give us understanding of the authority that I have so that I can conquer my giants. Right? You can all think of who that refers to. And that's David. He's one of the ones that conquered intimidation. In fact, if you look at the life of David, well, actually right throughout Scripture, the greater the call on your life, the greater the attack of intimidation will be. All right? So, you know, and the calling of God and the gifts that he's given, we're going to talk about gifts. The gifts that he's given us is there to lift us up, is there to strengthen us to conquer the battles. So many times we have a promise, we've got this calling that God, and God gives us a plan of our lives, and we think it's out there, it's at a later stage, but no, your calling is now. Your calling is for this moment. It's not your calling, it's God's call on your life. He calls you to his purpose. It's not my purpose, it's his purpose. But he calls us to overcome. So we see in the life of David, in fact, is the very first scene that we see in his life after he's anointed. He has to conquer intimidation. He comes up against Goliath. And Goliath comes and he intimidates him. He says, who are you? And he taunts David. He taunts him twice, in fact. And then Then all of a sudden, his brother turns to David and he says, what are you doing here? You know, you're just a little boy. You should be attending the sheep. So not only does his enemies intimidate him, but his brother intimidates David. But he has to overcome. And so many times, you know, the Goliath is almost easier because you expect intimidation. But the brother catches you off guard, right? And it's almost like, you know, maybe he's right. You know, maybe my brother, maybe I shouldn't be here. But no, God has called us. And David says, isn't there a cause? There was a cause greater than him that he believed in, that he made his own, and that enabled him to conquer that intimidation, that assignment against him. And so this afternoon, I'm trusting that you would step into the authority that Jesus has through the cross, the finished work of the cross. And so the fact that we have all authority in Jesus doesn't mean it's automatic, right? And that's what the many great men of the scriptures understood, because they knew that they have to fight for it. They have to claim it. They have to wield that authority. So no one's going to do it on your behalf. Not even God's going to do it on your behalf. He's already given it to you, but you need to take that authority. All right, so just before we continue, I want to just pray for us. Father, we thank you that this afternoon we're in your house. We're in a safe space, God. We're here and you are here. And Lord, we are here because of you. We're not here because of man. We're not here because of any plans or any agenda. But we thank you, Jesus, that we can lift up the Son of Man. And I lift up now the Son of Man above this place. We lift up Jesus. We say that there's no other name but the name of Jesus by which man is to be saved. Father, we lift up your Son above this place. And Father, we come against every assignment against your people. Father, we thank you, God, that in you, in Jesus, we will not settle. We will not settle for mediocrity. We will not settle for anything less than all that you've purposed for. We will not settle for anything less than what Jesus has purposed on the cross. And Father, we come against everything that wants to oppose us, every lie of the enemy that says that we're not supposed to be here, we can't make it. Every time we walk on campus and every time we walk around and we just feel that there's opposition, you're not going to make it. You're not supposed to be here. We break those lies. We break those lies. And we thank you, Father, that you've called us for a great purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. So that's David. He got it right. Now, I'm going to move on to another guy called Elijah. Now, Elijah, and even even the New Testament prophets say that he was one of the greatest prophets. In fact, Jesus says, he will come and he will restore things in the last days. But now, you know, if you look at his life, some of the stuff that he did was really radical. This prophet called Elijah. And, you know, one of the greatest scenes was when he called a drought on a nation. He, man alone, went to the king and he said, there will be drought because you are busy with evil, because you're in sin. All these consequences will happen. And then he gathered, he came back. God said to him, okay, now the drought will break by your word. Now gather the people. So he gathered the whole nation. He gathered the prophets of Baal. He said to the Baal prophets, here's the setup. You call fire from heaven. I'll call fire from heaven. Whoever's offer, you know, is consumed by the fire, he wins, right? He sets up this scenario. And so we know what happens. He mocks the Baal prophets because they cut themselves and, you know, nothing happens. They do everything possible, all the rituals and everything that they can conjure up. The darkest magic and everything, but nothing happens. There's no fire. Eastern comes and he says even to the people, pour on water, you know, make it even harder, make it as difficult as you possibly can. And then he calls fire from heaven and God comes and he blesses him, right? And right there before all the people, God vindicates this one man against all the prophets, against all the people, even the king was against him. But yet this prophet stands. And then he starts praying, goes on his knees, and he says to the king, it's going to rain, you better go on your chariot. And you know, soon afterwards it starts raining. So this mighty prophet, this mighty man of God, he does all these things. And then the king of Ahab's wife, Jezebel, apparently it was her prophets, the prophets of Baal. When she heard what happened, she sent message to Elijah and she said, I'm going to kill you. And he ran. He ran for his life. He ran all the way to the furthest part of to the most southern part of Israel, and he hid from this woman, right? Now, you know, this man that stood up before everyone, but one person came against him, and he ran in fear. He was intimidated, so much so that he went, like I said, to the furthest part of the nation, and then he was confused, and he started saying, God, it's all over. You know, God, I'm the only prophet that is left, which he was not. There were many other prophets. But he was so into himself that he lost all perspective. And eventually he was so depressed that he said to God, God, just take me. Just take me. You know, take my life. Now, isn't that weird to you? No one says it's weird. Everyone's just like looking at me. Isn't that weird to you? You can go like yes or like no. You're welcome to disagree with me, by the way. It's very weird to me that this powerful prophet suddenly becomes this intimidated, depressed man. What had happened? His focus had shifted. His focus was on this powerful God that could do everything. And then suddenly his focus was on himself. And he was afraid. He was depressed. He was into himself. But it's actually a very sad story of this really powerful prophet that did amazing things, ending off his life like this. In fact, God gave him 3 assignments to anoint 3 people, and by the end of his life, he only had completed 1 of the 3 assignments. What was the 1 assignment? Matthew can't say. Elisha. He anointed Elisha. He was supposed to anoint 3 people. Fortunately, he anointed the right guy. Because Elisha then went on and did the rest of the 2 assignments. But he only completed 1 of the assignments that God had given him. So his life ended up in a very sad way, even though he did really amazing things. But he was a victim of intimidation, right? But many, many people conquered intimidation. Another one is Timothy. Timothy, was a spiritual son of Paul. And so Paul writes to him in the epistles, in the first book, he encourages him a lot. And he actually says to him, because he was the head of a church, but he was a very young guy. And so Paul says to the people, to Timothy, he says, do not let anyone despise your youth. So you can pick up, he's already against a lot. And then in the second book of Timothy, he goes on and he continues, and he says in the first chapter, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity again to fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Right? Some of the translations just go on to say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but the actual regional words are timidity, which comes from the word intimidation. So God has not given us a spirit to give in to intimidation, but a spirit of power to conquer. A spirit of love, right? Rooted into the Father, in the Father's love, right? Secure in the Father's love, and a sound mind. In other words, we think straight. In other words, we think with the perception from God. Jesus says, we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we don't look in the natural. We don't see in the natural. We don't look with carnal minds, but we look as God looks. We see as He sees. We perceive situations from his vantage point. We have the mind of Christ, a sound mind. But I want you to notice something really important. Well, let's actually look at the symptoms of intimidation and see that picture of Elijah. But the symptoms of intimidation, if you've fallen victim to the spirit of intimidation, and again I say the spirit of intimidation because it's a spirit, right? It can manifest in natural ways, but there's always a spirit behind it. So when you experience intimidation through a person, it's never the person, okay? You might have experienced before that someone intimidates you and you think it's the person, and then the person gets taken out of the picture, and then suddenly it's another person, because it's not the person. There's a spirit, and that spirit is there to resist you. But did you know what? God doesn't take that spirit away. Because that spirit, he actually allows, you know, God, the scripture says, Romans chapter 8, God is able to work everything to the good. Those who are loved and those who are called according to his purpose. So God actually purposefully leaves the Goliaths in our lives. He can take them out, but he doesn't, because he wants you to. He takes pleasure in the fact that his sons and his daughters take the authority that he's given and exercise that authority. So we're going to get practical in doing that now. But so the symptoms, back to the symptoms. Confusion, depression, hopelessness, loss of vision, and dormancy of the gifts of God. Okay, I'm going to go through it again. Confusion, okay? God is not the author of confusion. If you find yourself confused, where is God? Why has this happened? Why does it not make sense? Why am I experiencing what I'm experiencing? All these things. Again, that self-focus, that inward focus. It's me, and I'm struggling. God wants us to be Him-focused. Then the second one, depression. When we find ourselves in depression, means we've fallen victim. We've given in to the spirit of intimidation. But don't be discouraged. Intimidation is a lie, right? We are not to be intimidated. Thirdly, hopelessness. When we lose hope, loss of vision. You've lost the vision that God has given you. Maybe you've never caught that vision, and then God wants to give you that vision. And then the most important, dormancy of the gifts and the calling of God. So, verse 6 of 1 Timothy, I read verse 7 just now, but look at verse 6. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Basically, he says to Timothy, listen, Timothy, I want to remind you of something that happened. We prayed for you. We commissioned you. Like we sent out these mission teams a couple of weeks ago before they went, we prayed and we commissioned. Like that, that happened with Timothy. So there was a commission. And so I want to remind you, because you've got a gift, Timothy. There's a gifting on your life. A couple of weeks ago, I was praying for someone. The Lord showed me a picture of like a 4x4, an off-road vehicle. And the person is like this off-road vehicle, and the vehicle is stuck in the mud. And the person is putting their foot on the petrol, but the more they're trying to fix the situation, the more they're spinning on one spot, the mud is just, you know, increasing, and they just can't get forward. The more they're spinning, in fact, the deeper they get stuck into this muddy situation. And then I felt, but there's a cable. There's a cable that God wants to just put on this vehicle and then pull out the vehicle. And I felt the cable resembles the gift of God, the calling of God. And so I said to the person, listen, stop focusing on the mud. Stop focusing on the issues. Stop focusing on what's wrong and the things that you cannot fix. And the more you're trying to fix yourself, the worse it becomes, because you're just spinning on one place and the mud is just coming up. Focus on the gift of God. Focus on what God has given you, and that is the cable that's going to pull you out of your situation. And also encouraging, just reading the scripture and seeing that this is what Paul says to Timothy. He says, you know, you're tempted to be intimidated, but don't worry. God has not given you a spirit of intimidation, right? But before that, he says, stir up the gift. Stir up the gift of God inside of you. And we're going to get practical regarding that in a couple of minutes. The last guy I want to look at is Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. I'm going to read the whole portion of scripture just because it's good to read the word. Thanks for those amens. Right, it's not on the screen, so get out your Bibles, get out your your iPhone versions, Samsung versions. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1 to 15. You see, God had given Nehemiah this assignment to rebuild, to do this work of great significance, of restoration, this work of restoration. And God had given him a clear vision, and he'd started doing this. In fact, they were busy, and we actually pick up quite a far bit down in the journey. He had gotten a king assignment, a mandate from the king to do what he was doing. So he was doing it under the authority of the king. Then we pick up from verse 1, chapter 6. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. How did Nehemiah know that? Word of knowledge. God had showed him that this was the intent of these guys. Sanballat was an enemy of what God was doing. So God had showed Nehemiah that they were about to do him harm. So verse 3. So I sent messengers to them. So he responds now. He says, I am doing a great work. Don't you like that confidence? I'm doing a great work, you know. And it's great because it's God's work. And it's not great because of me, but it's his, like I said earlier. It's not my calling, it's his calling. So what I'm busy with is a great work. It's really important. Not because of me, because of God. I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. Then Sanballat sent his messengers to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. It was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall, that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him, saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was a secret informer, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who have made me afraid. And then verse 15, very important. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. What's that? Go Nehemiah. Well done. Well done. Did you notice there the last verse, and that was very significant to me, is that it was very close to the end. They were almost done. And it was almost the last attempt of the enemy. It was their last attempt, in fact, to spoil what God was doing. And so Nehemiah just had to keep courage for the last bit. And so many times, you know, we're tempted to give up right at the end. God just wants us to just persevere and endure. So many times the scripture says, just endure. Keep strong. Fight the good fight till the end. Run the race with endurance. And so we see three avenues here of intimidation. I'm going to run through the three just very briefly. Three avenues or strategies of intimidation that I found generally the enemy uses to intimidate us, to get us to stop from the great work that God has given us to do. Firstly, I call it the assignment of distraction. So this, the first one is where Sanballat writes this letter to Nehemiah and he says, come and meet me. Right? So he writes it once, he writes it twice, three times, four times. By the fourth time, we're convinced this must be confirmation. You know, this must be from God because it happened four times, right? It must be God. And so, did you know that God would many times, the enemy would many times send people into your life to distract you from the calling of God, right? And many times, sometimes they'll even come to you with very spiritual reasons, all right? But Nehemiah could know, he could discern. He knew that the intent of Sanballat was to do him harm. How did he know that? God had revealed it to him. You see, Nehemiah knew God. Daniel says, those that know their God will do great and mighty exploits because they have this close relationship with God. And God would always know, and it's amazing when you read it. Actually, four times it says that prophets came to distract Nehemiah. Prophets, right? In other words, it means that supernaturally they came with words, right? But it wasn't God. In fact, it was against the plan of God. But he recognizes, looking at the end, it says, Nodiah, the prophetess, and the rest of the prophets who would make me afraid. Their assignment was to bring fear. Right? God has never called us to fear. Right? The enemy calls us to fear. In fact, God gives us faith. And the opposite of faith is not unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear. Faith and fear is mutually exclusive. You cannot have the two together. So if the enemy can intimidate us to a place where we respond in fear, he gets us where he wants us because then we can't respond in faith, right? But faith, in the other hand, the scripture says, quench the fiery darts of the enemy. By what? The shield of faith. So before you believe the lie of the enemy, you quench that lie with the shield of faith. Too many believers, and I've seen this so often, too many times the enemy sends us thoughts that are not our own, and it's not of God, but we think it's our own because actually he follows it up with another lie, and he says it's your thought. But we don't recognize it, that it's of the enemy. We don't lift up the shield of faith and quench that fiery dart, and then the thought grows in our minds, and it becomes an argument, right? And eventually, we respond in fear. What should we have done? We should have lifted up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy right when you knew it happening. Now, that's what Nehemiah did here. He knew that this letter was not of God. He could recognize it. How did he recognize it? Because he recognizes the voice of his shepherd. If you know the voice of your shepherd, the chief shepherd, the voice of Jesus, you know what is not. You know, you need to know the true to discern the false, right? So I want to encourage everyone, grow in hearing the voice of God. If you've never heard the voice of God, come and speak to someone. There's many ways of connecting to Christ. There's many, we can do discipleship and grow. There's many avenues and ways of discipleship. So don't be in this church and say, well, I do not hear the voice of God. The Bible says, his sheep hear his voice. It's the easiest, the most natural thing for a Christian to hear God's voice. So if you're there, speak to us. You know, you should be able to hear it. Come to me tonight. We'll pray and you'll hear God's voice, right? Who's ever struggled to hear the voice of temptation? to do sin, right? You know, no one struggles with that. Why do we struggle to hear God's voice? Right? God wants us to hear his voice, and we can. So Nehemiah knew the authentic so he could discern what is not of God. So immediately he discerned, even after four times he knew, I'm not going to give in to this. I'm not, it seems like a good thing. Why would it be wrong to listen to, you know, just to have a talk with these guys? No, it's an assignment of distraction. It's there to take us off course from where God wants us. And I want you to see the tight margin of error that Nehemiah lived according to. You know, you could sort of think, Nehemiah, you could have made a mistake here and there. But no, there's no option of mistakes for him. But it's not about perfection. It's about walking in the call of God, right? And he's just so close to the shepherd. So that's the first one, the assignment of distraction. And the opposite of, you know, walking in distraction means we open the door to confusion. The second one was the attack on intention. So the first letter, Sanballat, they gave up on the first attempt. The second attempt, right, they wrote this letter and said, it is reported among the nations that you, the Jews, plan to rebel. You are rebuilding the wall that you might be their king, which was not the case. It was a lie. So what they were saying, what the enemy came to do, was to say to Nehemiah, your intentions are impure. That is actually a voice of the enemy. So many times, in fact, often, the enemy would come into your life and he'll say to you, you mustn't go on missions because your intentions are selfish. Who's heard that before? When you hear that, you bat that thought quickly, right? It's not of God. Lift up the shield of faith. God had already called you. He's already called you. So the enemy questions, and by the way, that's how the enemy operates, is he questions. He always questions God. Go look at the book of Genesis right from the beginning. He comes to Adam and Eve and he says, did God really say? Question mark. Always questions God, right? He always questions you. Did God really say that to you? You stop that thought. What's so funny? Did I miss something? No? Personal joke. You're going to tell me afterwards, eh? Okay, thanks, Joe. I really want to hear that joke. It sounds really funny. Let me not get distracted. nothing personal, Joe. Okay, the third one. But again, look at how Nehemiah does this. He questions in his heart towards God. And then he says, now therefore, he turns to God, right? Because this is a real intimidation against Nehemiah. Because this is a real threat. Because if this letter really gets to the king, he can really be in trouble. If the king believes that Nehemiah is really rebelling, as these people are saying, there's big consequences. Because the king that sent him is not a godly king, right? And so there's lots of consequences. And you might read this and think, well, you know, it's just intimidation. It's not. But to him, it was really real. And that's the thing. Afterwards, after we've conquered intimidation, it feels fake. But in the moment, you feel, wow, this is real. You know, I'm going to die. You know, that's how you feel. But it's a bluff, right? It brings us to the last attack. I call it the intimidating bluff. The last assignment against Nehemiah. And this is quite an interesting one. Let me actually read it again. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, who was a secret informer. Again, how did he know that? God had showed him. He had discernment. Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Now, what is wrong with going into the temple? Nothing, right? There's nothing wrong with going into the temple and hiding in the temple, but it would have been an act out of fear, right? And so fortunately, Nehemiah picked it up very quickly. He knew that this was an assignment for him a trap for him to walk in. In fact, he says, I will not sin by acting out of fear. And it seems like such a normal thing. You know, what will happen? You know, the walls are still up. Everything's still fine. But just that little act of acting in fear would open up the door for the enemy to come in. So Nehemiah picked it up very quickly. And again, afterwards he says, he's a prophet. This is a prophet with a prophetic word coming to him saying, go into the temple. So many of us again would be like, okay, well, that sounds very spiritual. And how does he know this? And how does he know all this knowledge? You know, so maybe it's God. Maybe it's information that I should know. But no, Nehemiah again discerns that this is not of God. He knows the authentic and he knows the fake. He knows that this is a distraction. This is assignment. And the root of it is fear. It says there, then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. And so he resists this bluff. He resists it and he conquers the last attack of the enemy, this last step of intimidation. So we see that all the great men of God could conquer the intimidation. In fact, God had given them a grace and a calling to be able to. And the gifting of God is what pulled them out. So now Nehemiah's case, he was a leader. That was the gift and the calling on his life. And we're going to get practical regarding the gifts and the calling in a little moment. But they were able to conquer that spirit of intimidation. Right, so again, it's not a person. It's not, you know, sometimes the enemy would come through people that are very close to you, your loved ones, family members, and he would intimidate you because it's a spirit. And again, I said to you earlier, it's not going to go away automatic. It's something that you need to go into your closed room and you need to take that authority over that assignment against you. And I want to encourage you, if you don't have a space where, you know, a time, whatever you call it, I don't like the word quiet time because I don't like to be quiet in my quiet time, right? You know, it's just my time with God. And in that time, you know, I take authority over everything that would try to intimidate me. And, you know, like I said earlier with David, the bigger the calling on your life, the bigger the intimidation will be. Right? But learn that discipline. Know that you know, this world is not just going to receive you because the enemy is the prince of this world. So you'll go up into class, you'll go into your workplace, and the people there won't receive your arms wide open. In fact, there'll be a spirit that says, you're not supposed to be here. You're not going to make it here. We're going to work you out. And many times it's not the people. We experience it through the people, but there's a spirit that you need to conquer, and you conquer that in your inner room. Hello, buddy. Okay, let's get a bit practical. Where's Tanashe? Tanashe, why don't you get us a couple of pieces of paper? Next week, we're gonna have the feast. Who got the announcement of the feast? Okay, now most of you guys weren't here when we did the last one. What we do is we set up tables all around the venue, all the services joined together, and we just have food together. Now, this Sunday, we're going to do something special. It's really just a great time. We're going to have some worship together and some food together. But this Sunday, what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate the gifts on people's lives. So you're going to get a little paper, and you're going to write down the names of three people in this church. It doesn't need to be part of this service. It could be anyone in church, but anyone in church that you've noticed a specific gift on their life. Okay, and write down the gift against their name. Right, whatever the gift is, it might be a very spiritual gift, might be a natural gift, it might be a gift of business, it might be a gift of whatever it is, music, dance, you know, just being very good in their career. Whatever the gift is, write it down, and then encircle the one person that you believe that they've got a testimony. They've got a breakthrough in that area. So basically what you're doing is you're going to nominate people that we're going to celebrate next week. Okay, so you'll get a piece of paper, write that down. On the other side of the paper, you must write down your gifts, what you believe is the gifts on your on your life. Don't worry about Evan. We had some boy time this weekend. So clearly he's missing me because the ladies were all away. On the other side, you write down what you believe God has given, what the gifts are that God has given you. Right? It could be the gift of prophecy. It could be discernment. It could be, like I said, any of the gifts. So if you've got papers, okay. Take your phones and just begin to make notes. And then the papers will get to you very soon. And then we're going to do something very powerful and something very prophetic. Is there any questions? Everyone clear on what? Okay, so the instructions are, on the one, fold your paper. On the one side, you write down your gifts. On the other side, you write down the names of three people and the gifts that you've recognized on their life. It could just be one. You know, you don't have to write more than one, but you can. And then encircle the one or the ones, there could be more than one, that you've recently recognized that they've had a breakthrough in that regard. Or that there's a testimony in that they are really flourishing in that gift that God has given them. Nehemiah, and be quick writing down your gifts and the names of three people. If you don't know what your gift is, or you can't think of it now, then write down a request to God that you want to know what your gifts are. We're going to do something symbolic right now. Can the band quickly come up and take your places to maximize our time? Okay, so once you're done with both sides, then tear up the piece of paper. The one piece, the piece with the nominees, the people's names, send it to your left. So all the nominees, send it to your left quickly. Then the other paper, I want you to walk forward and symbolically put the paper with your gifts on, put it on the table here, the altar. You're going to put your gift on the altar and recognize that it is of God. So, tear the piece of paper, the one off you sent to your left. Where's Armand? Just send it towards Armand. So, all the people from that side send it that way. You guys send it this way. The other piece of paper, bring it forward with your gifts on, and then just, like Monica, put it down here. It's like a symbolic statement saying, one, I recognize that God has given me gifts. And secondly, we're doing what Timothy says, we're stirring up the gift of God inside of us. And we're going to pray over these gifts just now. Okay. And also remember to get your nominations to Armand. Okay, let's stretch out our hands to these papers. This is a very important thing. We had a leaders meeting this week. And one of the things that I believe the Lord is saying to us currently is that we are very gifted. God had graced us with so many gifts, but it's up to us again to fan the flame of those gifts. So Father, we thank you for all these gifts. We thank you that they are precious, God. We thank you, Father, that every gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. And Father, we fan into flame all the gifts that are represented here now in the name of Jesus, God. We awaken the gifts. Even as God, this year is a year of awakening, we awaken the gifts of God in our lives. Every gift that is represented here, God, and every person that is represented here, God, We thank you that these come alive in us. We fan the flame. We awaken what you have placed in us. And we thank you for the blessing and the calling of God, which is irrevocable. God, you will not remove it. You will not take it away. We come against every lie of the enemy, every challenge of the enemy. We say it will not prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us, we condemn now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that you lead us into battle. God, that you lead us in our inner rooms, Father, to conquer the spirit of intimidation. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming.
All right, so for the local mission, please do meet Armand in the Children's Church. And he's just going to give you my contact number for the WhatsApp group that we're going to create. So just go to Armand quickly and get my number from him. All right.